and the CEO may be delegated to represent the board, but then you have a problem where you have a referee and a player having to do a job, and therefore there is a conflict of interest in that case. Then we are looking then in your situation for outputs, outcomes in relation to your targets, and your targets is to improve the reputation of our destination as an investment destination, as a destination for tourism, and as a destination politically. It is and as a result, you have a number of stakeholders at play, and who have to look into your performance. And we would like also to hear as to how the trend has improved as a result of the FIFA 2010 World Cup. If it has improved, if it has not improved as a result of that, we would like to get reasons why. And there were two events in 2010. We also joined BRIC, that is Brazil, Russia, India, and the Chinese alliance. And the Chinese have said that if there could be an improvement in promotion, we could have a sizable presence of tourists from China in their 5-year plan, and then this year is their 5-year plan. They are envisaging 80 million tourists who will go abroad, and it is their desire that at least within that 5 years we should be in a position to capture at least 800,000 tourists from China. But they raise the issue that there is no promotion in Guangzhou. And then I'm not saying that it is solely your mandate to promote South Africa, and particularly tourism, because we also have the South African Tourism Board. But certainly, we would like to hear that in partnership, how do you then interact in such a way that there is optimum synergy in your implementation, and what are your plans? What has happened, and then evaluate from that, and then take us through the Auditor General's report. There are concerns that are there in the Auditor General's report concerning leadership and not listing. Reporting some of the things, but they say that they are satisfied about your performance reporting, and then we therefore shall not make that one an issue, and we also commend the IMC for taking action after investigating, and then investigation was an action, and then as a result of the consequences of the investigation, you took action and decisive action. But that is not enough. What we want to see is prevention of those things happening in the first place. And that comes from good governance, which then means that even if you have a clean report, that is when, if it is not qualified, it is not a disclaimer, it is not whatever, but then the system of governance the compliance with the PAA, with the PFMA, and other relevant regulations is recognized by the Auditor General. What you say as compared to what the Auditor General is saying does not matter. We take the authority of the Auditor General. So even if you say the Auditor General is wrong, we believe you are wrong. We have instances where people say, no, but the Auditor General has made a mistake. We do not take that story because there is a process to make sure that those mistakes do not through the management letters and so forth. So we are not going to take a story of saying that the Auditor General was incorrect or not wrong and whatever. But having said that, we thank you for managing the INC. There could be problems, yes, but after hearing from you, we shall make up our minds as to whether the improvements really are from a good team or the improvements or otherwise come from a very, very poor team. So over to you, Mr. Yakub, and the committee will listen to your presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, committee secretary, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Efe Yakub. Been appointed as one of the board of trustees of the IMC, who's more known today as the new brand called Brand SA. I'm a businessman in Cape Town, and I'm in the tourism sector, and I'm really humbled and excited to hear your input and your introduction speech, Mr. Chair, especially regarding tourism, because that is the area that I am a businessman in. Business, we make money in government, you spend money, so I'm a very critical board member when it comes to compliance here, whether the mandate and whether the vision missions has been achieved. And that is why I've been put on the board as a tourism businessman on the AMC board. Not very familiar with government structures, except what I get introduced when I sit on these boards and get into the PFMA. As general, I can just say that I've been 2 years on this board and extremely blessed and excited to great work that has been done. As an outsider, from business, we are always critical. Does government do enough? So I'll present to you quickly what Miller is going to briefly outline, is what the mandate of the IMC or Brand South Africa is. Brand South Africa, the flag, our flag, our new branding, which is our, as I always say, it is the window to what happens in South Africa, to the economy of South Africa. And the IMC mandate is derived from the national mandate. What is the national mandate? As you can see on the slide there, a national priority is obviously in all sectors in our economy to have a GDP growth, very important job creation, poverty alleviation, social cohesion and national vision, national vision of Africa, a vision 2030. And the strategic objectives is of course the increase of competitiveness. We live in a global world, so we have to have an increase in competitiveness. That is extremely important, that we need to be all aware that we have to be competitive in all indices of our economy. Improve our international reputation, so perception what the client out there think of us before they invest or come to our shores. And of course, brand equity. Having a fantastic brand equity, a brand equity can only be built on the reputation and the competitiveness of the country. Our vision, the country's vision, IMC vision, is South Africa to acknowledge as one of the top 20 nation brands. And of the top 30 nations in the global competitive index by 2030. That is our vision, to be one of the top nation brands. Our international mandate, we have an international mandate and we also have a domestic mandate. It's two mandates that we have. To build internationally, to build South Africa's nation brand's reputation in order to improve South Africa's global competitiveness. That is our international mandate. For our domestic, for our people living in the country, our local people, to build pride and patriotism among South Africans and to contribute to social cohesion and nation brand ambassadors. They must be proud and bound on a brand. Wherever they go, they must be ambassadors of our country. So those are the mandate for the ANSI mandate. If I go to the different sectors that we investment potential attract to make us attractive, we have tourism, so investment and immigration, exports, and people, governance, culture, they're all important sectors that will build up a brand, that give us brand equity. So those are the different sectors we will be looking at when we look at the IMC, how to improve that. Brand South Africa, how to improve the brand, and what is our approach? Very importantly, obviously in sport and recreation. We see how important when a flag flies out there and seen on international television when Springboks or Bafana or whatever place out there, important that it will brand South Africa, brand awareness. Our international relationships, tourism and trade investments. These are current sub-brands. And then, of course, art and culture. Our plan outcomes is brand alignment, increased pride and patriotism, positive change in perception, detectualized SA policy, and a sustainable organization, internationally and domestically. I think I want to give Mr. Malematula the opportunity to present further in more detail to the committee. Come on, Mr. Chair. Good.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members, honorable members. Just to take off from where Mr. Jacob has already highlighted, we have specific outcomes to achieve our mandate, which is already referred to, and that involves brand alignment between all the stakeholders who are responsible for marketing South Africa internationally. Domestically, we obviously need to make sure that South Africans themselves promote, market, and are ambassadors of South Africa. But we must also change perceptions about what South Africa stands for internationally. And in doing that, we have to obviously articulate and contextualize policies, especially as it relates to the competitiveness of our country, as well as to its positioning as a nation brand. The last two, Chef, increased economies of scale and scope are more internal because that is aimed really at saying we need to try and get additional resources, augment our funding, and do things in a manner that ensures that we can get more bang for our buck, if one may say so. And then lastly, a sustainable organization, obviously from a governance point of view, from a compliance point of view, and overall sustainability in terms of economic as well as social elements. These are some of the highlights for the year in part that we are reviewing now. And as initially mentioned, a new board was appointed, as Mr. Jacob indicated. And the board went on to implement the revised mandate that was approved in 2008, and they put in place a new business model. We also revised how we manage the different countries, especially in the light of our now joining the BRICS, but also in the light of developments in terms of South-South relations, and to relook our traditional markets where we were, and say where else could we possibly better market South Africa. There were also, from the board side, increased accountability and development as the board went about putting in place measures, policies, and ensuring that the new strategy or the new structure is equal to the strategy. Another highlight was the FIFA World Cup organization campaign and using the World Cup legacy following that to also increase marketing of South Africa. During the course of that year, South Africa also increased its spending as a nation brand, in that it was ranked 34th overall globally as the most valuable brand, and number one on the continent with a valuation of about $135 billion US dollars. The valuation is done by a London-based organization, Brand Valuation. In that particular year as well, there was an improvement in our in our reputation in the country, and this can largely be attributed to the successful hosting of the Soccer World Cup. In fact, you found that in that poll, South Africa received the second highest positive perceptions by many of the people who were polled. Also, the rating of South Africa's influence in the world rose from 35% to 42%, especially after the period, during the period after the World Cup. This is just a summary of the impact, and I think it is important here, Chair, to highlight that we obviously structured our strategy and business plan to look at what is the impact we create, what are the outcomes, and what are some of the outputs that lead to those outcomes. It's important when we talk about impacts that we always highlight that the impacts are not only the function of the brand South Africa alone. These impacts are a function of all the role players in South Africa who are marketing South Africa internationally, as well as the people who are also involved in business. So it's a collective effort. But just as a summary, in terms of the impact, and as I said, the impacts are not solely our own only achievement, but we contribute towards those impacts. In 2010, South Africa was ranked 30th out of 50 countries in terms of its ranking as a nation brand. In the financial year that we are looking at, it fell two places from position 35 to 37. So in 2009 it was 35, it was 37 in 2011. And we'll explain some of the reasons for that. In terms of the global competitiveness index, again, we fell nine places from 45 to 54. We also track media reputation throughout the world. It's significant to note that as far as media reputation is concerned, we didn't fall that much in the sense that we were at about 50.3, which is within the median range of 50, which is acceptable as far as media reputation for any country is concerned. The brand equity, as I said, we didn't have targets before in 2009, but in 2010-11, this financial year, we improved that to 34th and with a brand valuation of about $135 billion. Now, as we indicated, we have several programs that we run, some of those programs related to brand strategy development, and this really is about developing a positioning for the country and then making sure that all the role players are aligned behind that positioning. To do that, we have to ensure that we undertake training of all the communicators and the marketeers throughout the country, be they in the tourism sector or be they in investment promotion. We do that throughout the country, all the nine provinces. So these are some of the things that we did. We did training. We created all the digital platforms that all the marketers in the country actually, they access the passwords. They can then go online and download all the material they need to market or promote. We also ran an online marketers portal, which is the one I've talked about. And also we launched major campaigns around the Soccer World Cup. In fact, our emphasis and focus during 2010 was largely domestic. So we scaled down on international marketing. We did quite a lot of domestic marketing. I must highlight that one of the things that we need to do is to develop a country slogan, a positioning and a slogan, but that process has some hiccups and we had to put it on hold and restarted the process. So we are now in a position to submit by the end of this year a new slogan for the country. But the value proposition, the essence, the valuation and the architecture for what the brand of South Africa stands for, that was done. I've talked about the issue of the new slogan, Chair, that we developed a new slogan, but we had to put it on hold as a result of the discoveries of the fact that the due diligence that needed to be done then was not properly done. And you note under governance, we refer to some senior managers who had to go through a disciplinary inquiry. One of those was responsible for this particular project. But we also developed brand alignment tools for, as I said, the different nine provinces, the communicators, the marketers in the provinces. We did an identity manual, and you'll know now, you'll notice now, when we go marketing, all the marketing entities use the same logo throughout the country, which is the South Africa logo. But we also ensure consistency in terms of the messaging. We trained the training in three provinces. This is, and again, the second issue is pride and patriotism. We launched campaigns throughout the country in partnership with the sports bodies, with the private companies, with the media, as well as with the civil service and government department. Those are some of the partners that we were involved with in that campaign, and our estimation is that we reached in excess of 10 million South Africans through our campaigns. We'll show you some of the outputs and the outcomes from that. We do, together with the GCIS, the Government Communications Services, research which looks at South Africans' commitment and pride and patriotism levels. We did that before the World Cup, and we did it after the World Cup, and we have seen that after the World Cup, we are encouraged to see that 92% of South Africans actually said they were very proud to be South Africans. In excess of 70% of them said they were committed to this country. The number of people who said they you know, before the World Cup, about almost just under 20% of people said, well, they wouldn't think of leaving their country because there was so much negativity. When we did the poll after the World Cup, the figure was in fact in the region of 10%. But also you see that the campaigns that we launched were favorably received, and they really you know, competed or matched some of the private sector campaigns that were there. The Fly the Flag campaign, which we see that last year had a reach awareness levels of about 84%. There are other campaigns that we did with together with tourism, the Disco Dance, and the Football Fridays. Those campaigns we did with in partnership with others. But this is just to show you when we poll the level of awareness. One of the things we do globally is obviously our role is not a sector-specific marketing. For example, tourism do the sector-specific marketing. Our role is more the brand profiling and projection. To do this, we have to make sure that we undertake media programs in the countries where we are interested, and to try and ensure that the perceptions about the country, about South Africa in those countries, is improved. And so we rank that and track it based on a score. Now this just shows you the trend in terms of the work that was done. And you see the media reputation would have peaked with certain initiatives that were undertaken during the course of 2010. Immediately during the World Cup, you see that in that period from June, July, August, the reputation would have peaked a high of about 56. And then immediately that obviously had some public sector strikes, it went down again, but we continued with our media program, and you see that we closed the year off at an average of about 50. Now that score is an average of 50 taken from different countries. In fact, we track in more than 38 countries or so, 37 countries to be precise. You referred here to the issue of the BRICS. I think in the BRICS market, because of the our partnership with the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, with the Shanghai Expo, but also with supporting the state visit there, and through our agency in that market, we maintained a very strong media program, and you see that the coverage as well as the perceptions in China, for example, the BRICS market, was very positive. You'll see the same with India, Brazil, and to another extent, in fact, China, in fact, eclipses all of those because of more positivity, but it also shows the amount of work that was put in that market, and I think it tells us that we need to sustain this in all the other markets as we go forward. We also used a number of events. This is not a conclusive list, but these are the key ones which we used to market South Africa, profile and market South Africa. We did so at the World Economic Forum. We did so at the Shanghai Expo. We also held the Brand Africa Forum because we understand our mandate. As a contribution to Outcome 12 is not only to contribute to a better South Africa, but also contribute to a better Africa, and in that way be able to build a stronger brand South Africa. We also, together with DTI, hosted, co-hosted a global forum. And as part of our normal programs, we also supported state visits and international trade initiatives to the foreign countries, Russia, India, the DRC, as well as Brazil. In 2009, we had undertaken, just towards the end of 2009, we focused on all the countries that would have been participating in the World Cup on the continent, so about five or six countries. We actually had a marketing campaign for those countries. We even did roadshows to those countries, and we followed that up in 2010. And you see the change in perceptions, how then, you know, the other countries on the continent rate South Africa. This was taken just after the World Cup. When we did it in the first wave before the World Cup, there was an element of kind of negativity about South Africa in some of those markets. But post the World Cup, we have seen significant increases, you know, for example, in West Africa, where there was much more positivity about South Africa, and people say South Africa actually managed to put Africa on the globe, and that it created, you know, space for the continent to be perceived as a viable destination, not only for sports, but even now to be seen as a destination to do business with. In the international market space, we continue with media programs, and this is just to show you some of the things we do. If I may just highlight, we still maintain an office infrastructure in the USA as well as in the UK. But the board looked at the revision last year, and as I said, we are looking at the representation in China, as well as in Brazil. We are talking to South African Tourism about sharing office space with them as opposed to us having our own infrastructure there. But this is just some of the work that was done. The biggest work was done online with South Africa. SouthAfrica.info is one of the portals that we have where people can download general information. But the biggest is Media Club South Africa, where media actually can go and collect factual objective information about South Africa on that portal. It's one of the biggest portals that we run. I did mention the marketers portal. And this just to give you a sense of the traffic, you have seen that there was an increase across all the online media that we excuse me, that we run as part of our marketing South Africa. We also, as I said, we had the activations that focused on the World Cup in the US. This was over and above our normal programs. So our normal programs involved roundtable discussions with investors, with fund managers, which are ran by our country managers there, working with the ambassador in the market. They also support business and the government delegations to come there, and they run throughout the year a media program aimed at marketing South Africa. For the World Cup, there were various activations in Los Angeles, New York, as well as Washington. The same in the UK, we also had a team South Africa approach led by the High Commissioner there, where South African Tourism, South African Airways, the IMC at the time, the DTI, all run joint programs aimed at marketing South Africa. So we continued with that particular role. And the same as with them, they also ran investor as well as fund manager roundtables on a quarterly basis. And then they also did feedback activations. In terms of increased economy of scale and scope, chair and committee members, what we're seeking to do here is to try and extend the resources at our disposal by trying to enter into partnerships, be it with media, be it with private companies. And in the year under review, we had collaborative initiatives with media in excess, that were in excess of 8 million, with government departments about 24 million, and then also with private companies. For example, a lot of the activations we did, we had a partnership with Mantrak that contributed a bus, actually that we took throughout the country to actually reach people in the rural areas and inform them and get them involved in the World Cup. That was done in partnership with the network. That's in addition to some of the partnerships that I've highlighted previously. As far as the sustainable organization is concerned, I think I've highlighted this to say that the board looked at a new structure. We began the process of implementing a new structure. In the US, for instance, the decision was to establish or co-locate our offices with South African Tourism in New York, and we're currently based in Washington, D.C. and that we still retain a strong presence in Washington, D.C., but that we moved to New York because it's the commercial and media center. We reorganized the organization into two areas, the content hub and the delivery hub. We introduced the project management capacity, and given the change in the global environment in terms of the socioeconomics and the change in focus from the south and also to the east in terms of our BRICS partnerships, we also introduced new functions, program manager for Africa and Middle East, Asia, Europe, the Americas, as well as domestically dedicated focus for a team that looks at government as well as corporate and civil society. The other would be more internal, but also to work more closely with government departments. We started to introduce the process of signing up MOUs with them, with their DTI, South African Tourism, so that we can collaborate in the market and make sure that we can get more niche from our funds. In terms of corporate governance, the board focused, as I said earlier, on ensuring that there were tight policies in place. Amendments were made to the trust deed, and the process of revising our reporting lines through the GCIS to directly to the minister responsible for performance monitoring and evaluation was started during that process, which required that the trust deed be amended. The board also focused on the strategic risk management and ensured that there was a proper risk profile done and the risk register which management would then manage on an ongoing basis. At the end of the financial year, there were two disciplinary inquiries which were finalized regarding which involved two senior managers. The issues really related around the procurement and specifically deviation from set policies and procedures. So it's not so much that there were no procedures, there were procedures set by the board, but in this particular instance there was a deviation from those policies, and so we took action. Finally we had to dismiss both employees. There was an issue that came up which the Auditor General raised this year and said we need to disclose it, and in fact it is the IMC which raised the matter, because we actually approached our lawyers in this matter when we had an onerous contract with a service provider for printing equipment. And the long and short of it, Chair, is that we had assets which were not functioning well, which we could not use, and as a result we had to get other photocopiers, whereas we had a contract with them. So that resulted in us paying double. And despite repeated attempts to try and resolve this matter with the service provider, we could not, so we consulted our lawyers, and our lawyers looked at the contract, and the advice we received was that we needed to really either try and pay that contract off or really write off future amounts, because the contract was such that the way that it had been written, we probably at that time should not have entered into it, or we should have been more circumspect. But that also the particular service provider, had not acted in good faith. But the long and short of that, we would not be able to get ourselves out of this contract, which dates back to 2008. So hence this matter comes up as a fruitless and wasteful expenditure, because we have assets which we are not getting value out of. And the only option is to really eventually either settle these amounts and be lumped with that expenditure amount. So based on the advice of the lawyers, we've taken that view to say we must recognize that we are not going to get value out of that asset, and so we need to write off that amount of payoff. The third issue which relates to this inquiry relates to the payoff line. We have started a process of developing a payoff line, however we could not proceed with it because we established came out that there was some of the due diligence that should have been done wasn't done, and therefore a conscious decision was taken to halt that process. As a result of halting that process, we had a surplus at the end of the year. The 24 million that you see as a surplus is not all, however, related to the payoff line. About 13 million of that is related to commitments from the prior year. The Auditor General was accustomed to the fact that we had kept those commitments properly. as at the time of speaking, a lot of those commitments have been dispersed, have been paid off. What remains is a surplus that relates to the payoff line. And for that, we have submitted a request to the National Treasury for a rollover of those surplus funds, and we await a response. What I've given is the high level, Chair, and we have a very detailed performance summary in respect of each of those key result areas. And you'll see that we have indicated where the targets have been achieved and where they have not been achieved. We have highlighted why. I think an important thing to highlight is that during the course of 2010, one of the things we did, we sat with the Auditor General and discussed the issue of performance information. The Auditor General indicated that going forward, they will start auditing performance information, and therefore we had to have measurable results for each area of work. So the bulk of last year was actually spent on putting in place measurables for each area of work. So for each particular key result area, we had to go and set particular measures. And in some of the cases, it required that we actually either do research to set a baseline, or that we appoint a service provider to make sure that we can then develop a tool to measure this. Because I must highlight that this work that we do, nation branding, is not necessarily a common thing, and therefore you found that in the past the measures were really very broad marketing measures, and the AG said that we need to have more specific measures. So if I go to brand alignment, most of the things that required to be done would have been done. Where we did not achieve, it was really because we were trying to set a benchmark, and either we have gone to tender to develop a tool to monitor that. Excuse me. In some of the others, you will see that some of those targets were either exceeded or the drop was very slight, and I've indicated that some of the drops would have resulted from external factors under increased pride and patriotism. In terms of policies, we have to put out tenders for a research project which would then give us a baseline. And for example, the top one really is about how do we research the views, perceptions of business, people who make investment decisions. Now, we did not have a tool to do this, so we had to ensure that we establish a baseline so that we can say, here is the baseline, and from there on, these are the incremental growth we'd like to see, or this is the kind of development we'd like to see. So that is what we did there. In terms of changing perceptions as well, there were really no baselines, and there, the baseline that we have is a standard one, which is used internationally for media reputation. But we also had to set a baseline to understand how South Africans in the diaspora perceive South Africa and what role they play in influencing perceptions about South Africa. We have to set a baseline to understand how the brand itself, how much awareness of the brand is there. And we also had to set a baseline for tracking media domestically, because we only used to track internationally. I've talked to the issues around the economies of scope and scale and how much was raised to try and augment our resources. As far as a sustainable organization is concerned, I think the Auditor General's report gives an indication of the governance side of things, but part of what we are trying to do is to ensure that we have, going forward, a fully compliant sustainability report within the organization. Hence, you see that we said that it's 90% complete. Because if you look at our annual report, you will see that it's not the fully compliant in terms of the sustainability report with all the elements. But we are going there. From a finance point of view, our allocation increased in 2010, largely because of the FIFA World Cup. But in the new financial year, it goes back to an allocation of about 140 million per annum. And out of that 137, we had the surplus that I highlighted, a portion of which comes from the deferred work from the payoff line. The rest is from commitments, which the bulk of which were since paid. These were commitments which were carried over at the end of the financial year. The other income would be income from partnerships that we forge with the private or public sector. For example, on the ones that I mentioned with Delco, for example, where those funds then come in for a particular partnership program in that particular country or market. Looking ahead, Chair, the focus in the new financial year is on the development and the launch of a new country positioning and the country slogan of Pay Offline. We did lose some momentum as a result of the delays in the Pay Offline, which we could have leveraged following the World Cup. But I think there were a number of events that we managed to take advantage of, which still managed to enhance South Africa's reputation internationally. But we believe that if we start off the new financial year now with a new Pay Offline, that will also enhance our marketing effort. But during the course of the year, there was also a change in terms of where our reporting lines, as I said, we used to report to the GCIS. This was now streamlined so that we report directly into and the board report directly into the minister in the presidency. We also worked on developing a partnership model, because it is the view of the board that we need to augment the income that we get from government with the private sector resources. During the 2010 period for work doubles, we were able to raise 20 million rand from the private sector, and we believe that we need to work on a model similar to that. We're also looking at greater stakeholder alignment and partnership. And I think in this regard, it's important to highlight that this will require that we work very, very closely with other stakeholders such as the South African tourism. We have worked together on a project basis, but it is our view that we need to have far more strategic partnerships going forward, especially with tourism, especially with trade and investment. We will continue, the focus going forward is also to continue mobilizing South Africans through active citizenship campaigns. And this is really aimed at ensuring that South Africans play an active role as citizens in addressing issues that relate to their immediate communities, but also in taking the extra step to address issues that are key and to the development of the country, but that are also key to building a strong reputation. And you will see that in the new year we have launched a campaign which is called Play Your Part, which is targeted at government, business, civil society, as well as individuals. As I said, we need more increased international marketing in conjunction with our stakeholders, both business and government. And then we also focus on leveraging key events during the new fiscal, in this case, this is now the fiscal that we are in, events such as COP17, the Rugby Cup, which we've just supported now in New Zealand, as well as the All Africa Games in Mozambique, the BRICS Summit Forum in China, which we continue to support, the World Economic Forum Africa, as well as in Davos. We're going to use those as key platforms to market South Africa. But we'll continue as well supporting outbound as well as inbound state visits. And a key element of our programs will be the hosting of media tours to increase brand awareness and profile in key markets. And in the new year, we focus on bringing in a media tour per quarter from all the markets that we have designated, or the markets in which we are active. I think, Chair, this brings us to the end of our report.
Thank you very much, Mr. McDonald. I think before perhaps we get to the questions, because you do not mention in the report the frequency of your audit committee meetings and the presence, attendance, which I think is a requirement of the PFMA or the Auditor General's report, and I'm not too sure which one of the two. And then would you perhaps indicate how many times your audit committee has met? Because I ask the question because the audit committee consists of the internal control and the some of the board members. And then some of these problems, if they are identified early, and by early I mean if we go through our risk profiling and our activities every 3 months, because I think the requirement for the audit committee to meet is at least four times a year. So now the intention was that we've got to have an early warning system so as to intervene in time before before the problems become quite significant. So that is why I'm asking for that information, sir.
Thank you, Chair. The the audit committee meets quarterly. It meets before each board meeting, and as required, the audit committee is comprised of some independent members, some members who are trustees of the board as well, and it does meet every quarter. With respect to the issues of ensuring you know, oversight and being proactive, I think we have an internal audit which is outsourced, so that work is done by an internal audit service provider, and the audit plan that they follow through. Now, these challenges, the one or two challenges that we have highlighted, were actually picked up by the board, by the IC itself, and for example, in one of the cases, the forensic audit that was requested by the board, and so on having discovered this issue, that the deviation from the set policies, they would then have instituted the forensic, which then addressed the full better information. So I think that this one part of the proactive role that internal audit would play is to ensure that the system's controls are in place. So the controls were in place. It's a deviation from those controls, or a deviation from the set policies.
Okay, and then in the procurement committee, do you not have any conflict of interest? Have you examined that?
We obviously, as required, there is for board purposes there is declaration of interest of a generic nature, but there's also declarations when it comes to specific projects that relate to the procurement, let's say tenders, and that is kept regularly by the board secretariat, and we have not had any such instances. One of the learnings out of this issue in terms of deviation from set policy in terms of procurement, we have now appointed a new CFO who just recently joined us. But what we are also doing is to ensure that we have a supply chain manager over and above the fact that we have these policies, just to address this issue that came up in the past financial year. And so we have not had any instances of conflict of interest. We have set up a supply chain management framework as required in terms of the PFMA with the various committees, evaluation committee, lead adjudication committee, and award committee, and all our ones will go to the board depending on the level or the amount involved. So we have not had any incidents of that chart.
Would you assist to explain as the section on page page 52, paragraph 40, leadership, that is, policies and procedures were not adhered to, and as a result, instances of non-compliance with the PFMA were noted as detailed under the reporting on compliance with laws and regulations section, or with the laws and regulations section of this report. Could you give us an explanation on this, please?
Yes, sir. Thank you. That matter relates specifically to the senior manager, which is the CFO that was eventually dismissed. This is the case where we said there was a deviation from the policy by the person who was meant to be the custodian of policies. And we then instituted a disciplinary inquiry because they deviated from the set procurement policies. And eventually the finding of the independent chairperson of the hearing was that they had in fact added that we could act on it. So we dismissed the CFO.
Okay, thank you. So over to honorable members. Questions of clarification and substance. Mr. Kronbach.
Thanks, Chair. I've got two questions. The one is, we have SF Tourism, which is responsible for marketing our country overseas, and they have a budget which looks like it's about four times more than the IMC, about 680 million, I think, was the last budget they had to market overseas. Could the representatives from the IMC just explain to us exactly what the difference is between what South African Tourism does and what they do? Just looking at the presentation, it does appear that there is some kind of overlap. They're both running campaigns overseas, they're both marketing, they both have similar design outcomes. So it's not entirely clear in my mind exactly where the one begins and where the other starts. If we give us a little bit of clarification on that. And then my second and last question is, at the end of the day, various targets are set for international competitiveness. We know that, for example, in SF Tourism, there's brand awareness and brand positivity. But even today, in this particular presentation, we have slipped, in the one case, going with two places, in the other case, nine places on our international ranking, despite the fact that there is a relatively reasonable budget to achieve these outcomes. Could we be informed, why is it that despite the increased focus on this very, very important sector of the economy, the fact that we have a standalone tourism department now, which previously was together with environmental affairs, why is it that we are falling behind, even though more and more attention is given to this particular sector of our economy? And it comes through in the figures that we've seen today from the presenters. What's going wrong, basically?
Over to you,
thank you, Chair. With respect to the first question, I think it's important to highlight that we do different things. South African Tourism is responsible for marketing South Africa specifically as a tourism destination. Brand South Africa, or the IMC, is responsible for overall brand marketing, which means it serves as the overarching coordinating body for marketing. Hence, for example, if you just look at things such as the logo, we came up with that logo and ensured that everyone that markets South Africa internationally uses the same logo, because that gives us reach, that gives us scale, but also from a cost point of view, it saves you the more than 70 logos that we used to have all over the world, where nobody actually picks up which country is this, where you have even a municipality somewhere going overseas and using their own logo. That role of ensuring brand alignment as well as confluence is the role of Brand South Africa. But within this hexagon, if you look at the hexagon, there are different players, and each of those players, unfortunately, is focused on each of their sectors. Brand South Africa is meant to be the overarching coordinating body and the glue that holds that together from a marketing and brand building point of view. With respect to the question around the competitiveness index, again, it's important to note that this would highlight the status quo at the end of March, Chair. And if you look at the picture now, there's a significant improvement in terms of whether you take the tourism competitiveness index out of it, or you take this whole nation brand index and you say, how is tourism performing as a sector within that? And it's important to therefore see that in context. So from a ranking of 54 overall as a country, we've gained four places to be at 50. And if you look at the nation brand index, from a ranking of 37 last year, we have taken one place we have actually improved one place to 36. But it's important to look at where are the areas of improvement, because you have to go into the data. And you will notice that the areas of improvement are actually in tourism. They are in culture and heritage, largely because of our hosting of the Soccer World Cup, where the world now ranks us very positively in those areas. The third one is in investment and in immigration, where potentially the countries that are poor, there's a 50 countries, now have a much more positive perception of South Africa as an investment destination. Whether the investment follows, that's another issue, because our role is to ensure that we create a positive environment overall. With regard to the question around, you know, the areas where we are falling short and what we need to do, I think from our perspective, to the honourable member, is that we need even much more closer collaboration as Team South Africa in our marketing efforts internationally, so that our campaigns take on a bigger role. We do not duplicate our efforts in the market, in the market, because we never do any tourism marketing. However, what we will do is we will profile and project South Africa as a positive destination, so that when the tourism marketing people come in, their messages fall on fertile ground. When the trade and investment people come in, their messages can fall on fertile ground. So our role is more projecting a positive image using various methods, whether it's media programs or whether it's bringing in tourists, not just from one sector, not tourists, but media. So we would bring in media from across all those sectors, or media that writes for business or writes on destinations and investment destinations. And one of those investments might be tourism investment. One of them could be focusing on exports. So our role is overarching. I believe that with more collaboration and cooperation, we could actually do a lot more. In fact, our budgets would spread further. And it is the board's view as well that we should not duplicate efforts and resources. And that's why, for instance, we've negotiated with South African Tourism that where they have offices, let's share the office space, let's share programs. And we are doing the same with whether it's SAA. For our Middle East and Africa program manager, we are talking to SAA and South African Tourism. So if they are going to be in Nigeria, we can have a South Africa, Team South Africa, within that context where it has the IMC, the SAA Tourism in the same space. And I think that will give us much more impact and reach.
I can just add to that SAAB in tourism and DTR also represent on our board. So any campaign that follows or planned, they're part of this discussion to prevent in duplication. So they on board level and in management level, they collaborate with us. Thank you.
I have some questions here, but I see now IMC, I didn't get explained. The marketing that they do is general and it covers our situation, a number of departments as well. But what I have looked is not only tourism, but it's other sectors as well. I understand that. But I have looked at the report, this yellow document. I think it's page 75. Yeah. According to this report. Item 3 on income, other income. I see you have the what you call partnership income, I suppose depending on the partners that you work with. But you see what puzzles me there is the huge difference between this particular income for 2010 2011. That decline, I don't know whether you got those figures, that decline from 29 million to 24 million. I just need an explanation as to what exactly means. And also, another huge difference which I noticed myself is on page 76, item stakeholder and partner alignment management. And the brand strategy development and management. And also there I see the various differences are very big. I don't understand why that is different. Now I see an item 4, you do use consultants, and the expenditure on consultants is not that small after all. What are these consultants about? You see, we find that we're not the only one. We find that entities still need consultants. Not that consultants should not be used, but sometimes we find that these consultants are used to do tasks that could have been done by either the entity itself, by the entity itself. There could be expertise within the entity that could perform the task. But I think to make it easy and maybe to make up for time, there is a tendency to outsource some of the activities that really could have been done by the entity itself, and therefore find itself having to pay for work that is not so very special after all. Now, this is just of interest. I found that there is also a register here which shows the attendance by the members. What do you call it? The members of the entity. It's on page 12 in this yellow document, on page 12. I know from the page of the photograph, you see some members have resigned. Quite a number of a few people have resigned. But there are still some who have not resigned, and their attendance is really, really poor. One of them actually, I think that one has resigned since the season's beginning. But there is still one or two who have attended, only one out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 meetings. And they've attended only one meeting. My question would be, what do you do with the members who do not attend? You leave them until when? For how long should they be? I'm not quite sure about the regulations exactly. I don't know what regulations you have which regulate, for instance, attendance in meetings. No, why is asking this question? Because usually there's some allowance of some kind given to members for attending meetings. And you wonder, keeping people in a structure who are not participating, for how long do you keep them? What is the regulation? Yeah. Thank you, sir. One more question. I see. In fact, when I read the document, I was wondering whether you had played any role in promoting or branding the World Cup. But I then thought, maybe because it is not in our country, it's elsewhere. Maybe you don't have such a big role to play as you did, for instance, in 2010 when the activity was here. But I see now in your slide, your presentation this morning, you do mention the Rugby World Cup. What was your exact role in that one? Can you, for instance, quote what campaign you had that supported the Rugby World Cup. I must say it's quite interesting, you know, to listen to you or to read. I'm not particularly listening to you about the branding during the 2010 World Cup, because okay, you saw this thing, but you did not know exactly who was responsible for that. Yeah, some of them, I must say, were really, really, very interesting. I saw one for the Rugby World Cup, but I don't know who to attribute that to. The tendency was to think more of a South African tourism, at least thinking about the IMC. Yeah. Have you played any role in the World Cup, Rugby World Cup? In this case, what campaign exactly did you promote?
Thank you. Let me start with the question on the variance. You will notice that there's two things. As I said earlier, our budget for 2010 was increased precisely because of the need to market South Africa during the World Cup. And so you'll see that in 2011 it goes back to a budget of about 140. So it went up to 170. The second point which you raised about the change in the 39 million, it really relates to, if you'll see that there are changes in the way the budgets are structured, because we have something that is called prudent financial management and control. And actually within that sits things such as your payroll and everything else. And so when we went to the portfolio committee, they said, you know, what does this mean? I mean, prudent financial management and control and sustainable organization. We've got to make it clear what it is, and therefore we've got to locate the budgets where they're supposed to be. So in the new year, you will see that there is the budget. We highlight actually the budget that covers staff costs, marketing costs, all the administrative expenses. We've now highlighted that, and it sitting under sustainable organization, it will be reflected there. In the past, it was lumped as one figure. So you'll see that difference when you look at the comparatives from year to year. So that could be the reason for that the change in terms of the budget. There was a question around the consultants. We use it as consultants. We use the word consultants, but likely it's actually agencies. It could be marketing advertising agencies, or it could be PR agencies in different countries, in different markets. So we would appoint a PR agency here that has affiliations to other agencies in the markets which we've selected, so that if we need to do an activation or we need to go and do marketing, that we can work with that agency. So that is that. It's not really consultants who are in-house within Brand South Africa. Brand South Africa has about 30 staff, and you see that a lot of the work that's done is done through either the country manager in the US or in the UK. And just to add, Chair, in fact, in the review, the board actually rationalized the number of agencies that the company has to say we need to have fewer agencies. So they looked at what services do we need, and can we get fewer services agencies to do that, and let's appoint them here in South Africa, and then they can have affiliates, or they could be companies that have affiliates internationally. So there was a process that was undertaken by the board. The matter of the board attendance, the register, my board member will speak to, but let me address the issue of the World Rugby Cup. Yes, indeed, with the 2010 World Cup, a lot of the activations you would have seen, Fly the Flag and all those campaigns, were largely campaigns seeded and driven by Brand South Africa, but we always work in partnership with other people, because it's just too big a job to try and do it on your own. So you've got to develop campaigns, and then you have to get business, government, civil society to take them and run with them. And that's why you saw this overwhelming campaign in 2010 during the Soccer World Cup. For the Rugby World Cup, yes, we were in partnership again with the Department of Sports, with whom we have an MOU, with Lead South Africa, with SARU, starting with the function that was held here to support the box when they left. But in New Zealand itself, we helped, in fact, we developed for sports and recreation their Ekhaya concept, which is a hospitality concept which was focused on business, on culture, and trying to market South Africa as a business destination, as a culture destination, and it has up and culture, the DTI. So we did the overall coordination and the design and the building of the pavilions that were there. So there is a pavilion there that we were responsible for putting together. But we also used the opportunity during the Rugby World Cup to extend a program which we have, which is called the Global South Africans Program, now, which is a program that targets South Africans in the diaspora and keeps them informed, but also uses them as vehicles to market South Africa. Currently, the program is strong in the UK and in the USA, where there are South African expatriates, and they go online and they register voluntarily. And then once or twice a year, we have an event with them, but every single week, we keep them informed, we give them information about South Africa and all that. And that's a network that is very powerful in terms of marketing South Africa. So in New Zealand, we actually had a function where we registered global South Africans. People who have an interest, who are positive about South Africa, and you say we want to market South Africa, they came to this event. There were about 250 South Africans who live in Australia and New Zealand. And a lot of them came on and registered and said they want to become part of this network. Now it's an online network where we share information with them, but in markets like the UK, where it's already established, each year we then have a function with them. On Heritage Day, for instance, we call all of them and we do speeches. But we also use them to market South Africa when we have whether we have an investors dinner or we have a round table with the media, we bring them in, and some of them are chairpersons of companies or they are in key organizations, and then they speak about South Africa, and so we use them to market South Africa. So that's really what we did during the Rugby World Cup.
Thank you. Regarding the board, the complement of the board is I think the idea was to have people of all different backgrounds, all provinces to be sitting on the board. Now, first of all, it's a board trustee. If you don't attend more than three board meetings, the chairman must make a recommendation to have the board member to replace. I think the board is very settled because it's a very voluntary commitment we're doing. I come from Cape Town, and I'm based from Western Cape. Twice a month you fly up there and sacrifice your time. But also I think what happened is that a lot of what initially was established who should be representing the board, we wanted people with brand, like Danny Jordan, Lucas Fadebe, brand in itself. But that's not necessarily a good PR for the brand, but they necessarily have the time to be on the board. So the board had to look at that, how to balance the brand individuals or the ambassadors to represent the board and form function. Another challenge that we have that we addressed now recently is also we have finance people on the board. We appointed two or three people on the board that heads the finance committees. Amazing, very committed females, chartered accountants on the board. So there was a little bit of change there. I think what will happen for the year must be under correction, but the chairperson board will look at the constitution of the board at the present moment and make a recommendation to the president to add more people to the board or replace individuals that cannot come to board meetings. You must know that many of the board members are also appointed by the president, so it's a process to get that board in place. Thank you. Anything else?
Yeah, thank you. Just to add that there were a number of changes. Some of the board members were DGs, so they would have then changed from those organizations. Some of them, for instance, left, and there would have been a gap between the appointment of the new DGs where there was really no representative from those institutions, and therefore no attendance would be reflected. So it's a combination of factors. But we have since replaced all the new DGs. We've been then appointed, as Mr. Yakubia said, the DG of the DTI of Delco. There are new ones. They've now been appointed, and they do sit on the board.
In your report, in page 9, you say that challenges facing the country in the short term include the ongoing safety and security concerns that plague the country's international reputation, human and development issues such as health and education that threaten the future competitiveness of the economy, and policy debates around nationalization of mines as well as the current court cases on mineral rights. The mixed messages about policies on these rights have reduced South Africa's competitiveness on the mining attractiveness index. The country is now ranked 67th out of 79 countries, despite being the seventh richest country in terms of mineral resources. Another challenge is the impact of exchange rate volatility on export and tourism. However, Industrial Policy Action Plan 2 aims to address some of the impacts on manufacturing sectors through various measures. Finally, the challenges regarding energy and water supply infrastructure have received international attention, potentially damaging investor perception of South Africa. These are quite serious, but you cannot do anything about that directly. And my question is, what have you done in the way of awareness, creating awareness or advocacy around the role players that may be or stakeholders that may not be aware of this index in the community out there, and the issue of exchange rate for volatility, the deviation, how far what percentage really of either increase or decrease, because what eventually is desirable is a predictable interesting exchange rate by investors and other invest by investors. So if the currency is too volatile, it becomes very difficult to plan, say, for a year, 2 or 10, because investors cannot plan for a year. Normally they plan for 20 years or 30 years. If now they think South Africa has a free floating exchange rate management or governance policy, and now here comes this type of volatility. What interventions in line with awareness, information, and communication with the different stakeholders do you take? Mr. Kumbo, is that in line with that question?
The
first question, okay. Thank you.
I'm not sure this is a point of order, but I didn't really understand your first question, but I sense it was very important. And I was just a bit worried, and I know you didn't address the question to me, but I was just a bit worried that the presenters might not understand it. Would you mind, if I may ask you, Chairperson, just to clarify your first question, because I wasn't quite sure what you were asking, and I'd like to explore what you said.
No, in fact, the first question is that what intervention they have taken, given the fact that it is, they cannot take any direct action in as far as those things are concerned. Mom Jo.
Yeah. Can I also say why answering your question? But I've also noticed these challenges. But I was also wondering how the global recession, for example, generally, is affecting, if at all, your efforts to bring South Africa, particularly in the area of tourism. how do you think that is going to affect you? Because, for instance, this game, the targets that you have set, but at the same time, it looks like the recession is not abating, particularly in the country of Africa.
Okay, as a major stakeholder in an environment that is full of thorns and roses.
Thank you, Chair. I think it's important to reiterate what you said, is that those challenges we need to understand are represented as would be the perception of media, because we track media. So what we would report is would say, these are the issues that preoccupy the media, whether it's in Asia, in Europe, or in North America. And these issues raise concerns for the different stakeholder groupings. Now, how we deal with them is, there's three things. We call, because we are not the policy makers, but we are the marketing people, we have to hold the mirror up to the policy makers. And now the board does that is obviously they give their quarterly report to the executive authority, and in the report they would highlight what they are sensing in the environment and the issues that are coming up in the globe and as we do our marketing work. The second thing is that we then communicate them to the relevant stakeholders. So for an example, when a global competitiveness index is released, together with all other indices, doing business and all that, our researchers would then do an analysis, and they would then communicate what insights they are getting to the relevant departments, because as we said, we work with the stakeholder departments. And the third thing is that we then support those departments. So you see, for example, that Brand South Africa, because of our recognition that education is one of those areas where we are not scoring as well when it comes to the global competitiveness index, we then have we support initiatives aimed at driving quality education, and so we have a partnership with the Department of Education because it is in our interest to support education. So right now with our Play Your Part campaign, we are saying we support them and through the initiative Play Your Part, adopt a school or Play Your Part, contribute to quality learning and teaching, because we understand the importance of that. So there's three things that we do. We bring it up, we communicate it, and then we support those particular custodian departments responsible for that particular area. It could be education, for an example. And so that's really what we do. We have engagements with the Department of Economic Development and to discuss the issues, for instance, around competitiveness and some of the issues that are coming up. And then we are able to counter that by communicating internationally that, in fact, this is what South Africa is doing to address the issues around education, for example, and this is what is being done to address issues of health, to try and address the concerns that may come up. The issue of the global recession, as I said initially, there is obviously a shift into South-South relations. But also with our ascent into the BRICS market, it's important that we also start to diversify our focus as a country in terms of where we source tourists. Because the traditional source markets are economically depressed at the moment, and you are likely to see some impact there. But what is encouraging is that, in fact, in those markets such as India and China, where you have your 18%, 38% quarterly growth out of those markets, it shows you that if we don't overexpose ourselves only to particular markets, we are able to balance the portfolio of tourism. The other is to also keep on focusing on the regional tourism, which is both domestic as well as tourism on the continent. Because yes, indeed, the recessionary environment, or rather, the environment in the European markets, which are our traditional source markets, will affect travel and tourism. So it's a question of how we diversify our portfolio, and we increase focus in those other markets, that emerging markets especially, that are not feeling the pinch as the traditional markets. And to that extent, I think we work and support the South African tourism and work with them in that respect.
Mr. Yakob.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to respond. The speaker was talking a lot about tourism, but we will place in that sector and certain provincial boards in tourism. Exactly what Malaya says, although Brand South Africa is not responsible for marketing tourism, but we do collaborate and try to change the perception internationally about tourism. The first part of the question, the decision, yes, as a operator in the tourism sector, the recession has definitely had an impact in tourism in South Africa as a whole. But the tourist numbers didn't decrease, it increased. The perception was that we are an expensive destination because of volatility of the currency. And before the World Cup, there was a tendency to increase oil prices and have expensive products based for the European market. What Brand South Africa should do now that we is that we are value for money, and because we're not playing in the European market anymore with strong currency, we every day I see a huge percentage of Chinese, Indians coming in mass buses, but they want value for money. They won't do, for instance, an example, expensive shopping, the whole gaming zone. They want cheaper products. Brand South Africa's duty is to say that we are an affordable destination. That is based on our new market, and the way we package South African perception is going to be completely different to traditional markets or the European market. And that is what our job would be, to work with this in tourism. And that affects our tourism markets. But to date, we have not lost any people coming to South Africa. They are here in big in this numbers. It shows 12% growth. The leisure tourism, Johannesburg, Hong Kong, showing a 32% growth in business tourism, and a huge increase in that sector. And domestic tourism, as well as it, is the one that we want to encourage. Our job of Brand South Africa, as I repeat again, will to change the markets that we are expensive and market them. The new market, the British market. And there's already a tremendous change. I can say that, I mean, I see that on a daily basis. There's a huge change of the efforts of is in tourism, provincial tourism, and Brand South Africa to change your market completely that are coming through. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Unfortunately, our time is not unlimited. We've got to conclude now, but perhaps given the questions that have been asked and the interaction, would you like to have your concluding remarks as the INC?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, thank you for us presenting our annual report. As IMC is a brand in Brand South Africa, it's an extremely important component in marketing South Africa and the perception and of brand equity of the country for investments, for tourism and all other sectors. As a board member, I can say that being, as I said, the referee over the players, that have done tremendous work, excellent work on a very high level, and to make South Africans proud that we have such an organization to be able to market our brand vigorously and scientifically with real with measurables out there. And we were very happy as board to see the performance of the management team of the IMC as to date. As I said, as a businessman, we want to create jobs, we have an invested interest to see that the tax-based money is spent in the proper way. I can say very clearly and confidently that doing each job. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, I just want to thank you and the committee for inviting us to present, and also for the insights that you have gathered from the questions. I think they also help focus us on some of the areas that I think we might not have thought of, and so that guidance is appreciated. We also appreciate, obviously, you know, the point you made earlier about the fact that we need to work a lot more closely together with all our sister organizations, the South African Tourism and the DTI. And I think this being a tourism portfolio, if we could impress that that need on each other, it would help. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I think it is a very important a role player in the area of public relations, not only for tourism but for the country as well. We value much what you do, but I do not know how far you interact with our media. I mean, to try and just have a discourse and dialogue. I'm not saying that you want to tell India what to write or not to write, but that type of interaction, I think, to give everyone the insight, the type of responsibility we have as a nation. But secondly, I think the issue of government is everything that you do. So increasingly, we are going to look at governance, because if governance is not proper, then the planning and organization or controls are just out. And then it means that you would not know what your targets are and what your inputs would be, and your controls would not be out to scratch, leading into other problems. And the issue of the value, the international value to the country, and we see that we are quite often we are going with the cabinet delegations, different delegations, and as the countries of the East increase in wealth generation, We expect more promotion in those areas as well, because at the end of the day, they entrepreneurs, the workers, and everybody has an interest in that. And we see that from your report, you are aware of all the five priorities that the government has, and then you have responded one way or the other. But at the end of the day, it's about our growth as a nation, economic growth. It's about our jobs, the jobs of our children. It's about having more people engaged in entrepreneurship because of you promoting that. And in that way, if everybody then has a role, a positive role to play in South Africa, our great country, then we can have peace and stability, which are the foundation for planning for a great future. We thank you very much for that. You had problems, but we are happy that you respond to problems. But what we are saying, what is more important, preventing these problems. So next year, we do not want to have problems. We want to have a zero, a problem-free environment. And we thank you, and we appreciate all your efforts as you go forward. Let us break for about 5 minutes and then come back and manage our minutes.
I have nothing. All my documents are in my office.
Okay. I'll fit you on.
Oh, okay. How? I'm going to go. Hey, my thing is, you can get a pillar. I hit a get cog and no loom to my dad. Or loom to my dad. What's that bad here? So when you bring me, they don't just say, listen, come back. I'm leaving.
Oh, okay.
And I'm a document some wawa tata wawa bang and just send him wafuna and yabonella. And isn't you first little
way?
So, isn't that is why my apology I'm looking for that thing as long as they call. Well, what?
Okay,
ma'am. Okay, but.
This afternoon, you package it again, to me, Belen.
And perfectly wonderful, wonderful. Well, it was. Now I'm telling, I must go and read the first one.
There's an annual report or something. You got that one, the yellow one?
No.
The yellow thick document?
No.
Okay, they should give you that one. That's the actual report.
Okay. When was it distributed?
I think members had the annual report before this presentation.
Yes.
Because
I think I...
They were referring to it, the yellow.
I think I should be having
maybe
it.
Maybe in your pigeonhole or something.
No, no. In my office.
Oh.
As I say, my...
Package.
My PA.
Oh.
The package came in a big envelope.
Oh.
Then she was so stupid.
Hmm?
She takes the documents out. She's not even doing my file,
oh.
My filing. She just puts them somewhere. When I was looking for them on Friday, I phoned her. She's not there. She's sick. She's not. She couldn't. She was not able to direct me correctly.
Where they are.
And they are minutes.
Yeah.
Bolton, I'm a minute. Ngoba kuleya package. We have number so when zinto dom ganjan. And it is yes, that she packed it in envelope and go. We are a cock. We are a shooter.
If I get filing.
I'm sure filing over against the filing. I'm not looking at filing. I'm not. And I'm not saying you're giving. I'm going to put my minutes.
Okay.
Please. Please.
She should have left it in the envelope. She should have left it in the envelope and written on the
beat. Exactly.
For Tuesday's
she
meeting or whatever, you know?
You know, she shoves it.
Amongst
now,
all the other documents.
The lady that does my filing comes, she looks. We looked.
Oh. Because there's so many other documents.
Exactly.
The one looks like the other. You
and
can't tell the difference.
It was so beautifully packed.
Yeah, Jerry does those, yeah. Nice.
And I don't know what was the idea for her to unpack. You know? Unombuso wakho loyo. Phela ngoba sikhuluma kona ukuthi it was so nicely packed. Ngiza ngiyahleka ngithi hey, imvelophe engaka uBoltini. Uyasuka ngimbona, uyaqhaqha, uyoko. Phela ngabe angithi kubuya yiya kasile envelope. And ama-documents anjalo ahlala edeskini lami. I always want them. But at least thank you very much.
Okay, Tomate. Okay.
What? Sento mazanel. Hey, kunzima. Kune iCOP 17 phela. iCOP 17. Yenza bonke abantu bame nginyawo phela. Hey, angithi kune public hearings namhlanje. in a white paper.
Environment.
Hey. I'm not spending preparation. I'm not having a super nanny weekend. I can't super nanny weekend. Because your lunch on the steamer. I'm going to say to Uncle the station in Cape Town. So good.
In
what is them? Ngothi zamela ngikhulu mina bengikhulu iconic presentation yenze umnye umfana omnyama egudi kanjani for abantu bethu ngithi mina our people must understand what is meant by climate change yini umonakalo owenzekayo uma kunama kuzoba nama droughts kunama floods yini intuthu lene esukayo sibasimbawula nani ufuneka abantu bethu ukhona umfana obe one of the presenters ayishayile
iyana African
astralis
yazi
kwa sabonanze
I miss that
ah it was so good very
so,
ngoba phela ngithi affecta wonke umuntu ngelisho sizokwenza white coal sizokwenza ma sowashintsha amalahle sowashintsha amalahle indaba enkulu kufuneka imali ifunding itechnology ifuna imali ukuthi siguqule izinto eziningi angithi uyabona
imoto ezingaka
yizi i-transport iyona esibulala great. Let me tell you one.
I could be CO2.
Yes, the kit is CO2.
Yes, it's not like it's
better. Konke, konke. We are born at the angle of the cold. Ogmanek situa ipiela marine. Ishunga gutu uzupume mkwate. Yenzani lomo. Ama refineries lapa, laksos wakonu u-petrol. Amiti. Leli pepa lakwa mondi, leli nelbon. Angithi abantu bakithi kufuna abazi. Ngoba wonke amadi. Wonke amadi. Uzonjani? Uzoyithatha abantu. Let me see a corner lapha. I'm going to phone over the business. I'm going to phone over the
business.
I'm going to phone over the business. I'm going to phone over the business. I'm going to phone over the business. I'm going to phone
over the business. I'm going let us reconvene and let me suggest this. And that we are having copies of meetings here. Let us look at who was present, who was not present, and satisfy ourselves there because we are here. And then, but otherwise, submit what you want to change to the secretary. And then next meeting, we are going to just say minutes of Tuesday, the 18th of October, and then it's adopted or not adopted, because practically we cannot do that now. Do we understand each other? So let us do that, and then. Next time that we can then adopt those things. But on attendance, just please check and let us make sure. And then if there is a change in manner in this thing in membership in the membership in our committee, please inform us. But we assume that from the ANC there has never been a change. From the DA there was a change. men from other parties, there has never been changes. And then if we work like that, I think we are going to be good. And with that, perhaps except if there are questions or perhaps a need to clarify something later, we shall have to attend. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I think it's time really to adopt a new rule. But what I'm going to do well, for instance, one is suggesting a change in the content, maybe of a sentence or of a paragraph.
Okay, ma. No, what we are going to do is we are going to come here and say adoption of the minutes of Tuesday, the 18th of October.
Mm.
Then you are going to raise your point and say, no, that is not correct. My position is this, that, and all the other.
I think we'll do that next time.
Yeah. But if we try now, it is 5 past 12. And managing that, I don't think it is possible.
No.
But
no.
Let us just compare this, our minutes with other sources, our notes and PMG notes, and then see what the situation is when we come back. You wanted us to do one or two sets?
No, maybe two sets, and I think it's better to do all of them at one point.
At one time.
Yeah, so I think I would agree that if we next time, let us now try and find time. But
yeah.
You see, what is important is that you read the minutes beforehand, so that when you come here, you don't read the minutes, but people read only those issues that they want to raise.
Yes. That's what I'm suggesting. And if that is okay with us, then I think we have to attend. But before attending, we let me explain this International Marketing Council. We had not been aware that it was supposed to be our report, but it came through the ATC that we're supposed to be involved, and it makes sense that we should be involved. So that is why we did not make any arrangements in time for us to interact on this. So, but after reading it, I thought that. It's worth it, and we were supposed to be involved.
I think it's all right, because all the documents, the reports that we discussed anyway, have been referred to us through the ACC. So I don't think that if you say we did not make arrangements in time, I think we did, because if you look at the dates you see on each of the tests, I don't think we are late to I'm not sure.
Okay, no, that would be fine. But what we are concerned about is that it should be accurate, because it is for the records of other generations to come to Parliament. With that, let us then adjourn till the next meeting. But thank you very much for attending. And let us try and improve on time next time.